Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Should Ireland decriminalise? I'm always cautious about the word decriminalise because people say, is that not the same as legalise? Kind of is. You're legalising it for personal use. There's no other caveat in there, really. You're decriminalising it. The Labour Party wanted a health-based approach, which is basically, you know, you catch somebody who might have a load of cocaine in their pocket, you just say, oh yeah, look, here's a card for a rehab centre now. Why don't you try that now? See ya. Well, off you go. A bit of a caution, maybe. I mean, would it work? Would it make a difference? Or do you think that'll make the drug problem even worse in Ireland if we decriminalise Class A drugs? We're talking, you know, cocaine, heroin, ecstasy, and prescription drugs as well, but because prescription drugs end up on the market. So let me know what you think. Or maybe you think, no, Niall, let's go back to the basics here. They're illegal drugs for a reason. They're Class A drugs. Let's just ban them completely. Well, that's what we've done already, but let's get tough on that. In other words, if somebody is caught, you know, with Class A drugs, be it cocaine, whatever, then they do time or they get a huge fine. Rather than just ignoring the problem, because that's what we do at the moment. You can walk through Dublin City on any given day and you'll see people openly dealing in cocaine. Nobody does anything about it. It's just accepted. Which is wrong, because the law is the law. But for some reason, we seem to be ignoring the law. Should we be getting tough or should we be decriminalising? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Let me go to Billy first. Billy, hi, how are you? Billy, you there?
Niall, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Go ahead, Billy.
Yeah. Niall, I'm going to say something I never thought I'd say. You may as well just decriminalise it at this stage.
That's kind of throwing the towel in, isn't it?
No, it's towel's already in, Niall. The whole war on drugs, Niall, it's lost.
Ah.
And I never thought I'd say it, Niall. I detest drugs. I think they're a scourge on society. I think they cause more damage than anything in society. I think the people who profit from them are disgusting. But Niall, there's doctors, there's nurses, there's Gardaí, there's judges, there's politicians. They're all using it. Not all of them, but there are
subsections
of them that are using drugs. Not casting versions on all of them, but you know, there is mass usage of illegal substances from the people who make the laws, are meant to enforce the laws, and who we trust with our health and safety. And if they're doing it, knowing all the risks and the damage and all the social problems that it brings, battle's lost.
But why are people doing it? Because they know there's no real consequence.
Well, I don't know, Niall. It's not something that I've partaken in.
But they know there's no... apart from the health consequences, they know there's no consequence. If they're walking through town and they're picked up by a guard, which is very rare that a guard will stop you looking for drugs, by the way, unless you're known to the guards and they're looking for dealers. And you have enough for yourself in your pocket, in a bag or whatever you keep cocaine in, they're probably not going to do anything about it.
No, we have the darlings of the Irish media at the moment singing about bags of ketamine. Like, you know, it's like, yeah, it's a lost cause.
But what you're saying to me there is, like, I'll use an analogy. We have speed limits on the motorway, right? Of 120 kilometers an hour.
Yeah,
there are people who break those speed limits. And
so
that's terrible, and sadly people die and all that kind of stuff. Should we turn around and go, oh, some point in having speed limits now?
There are some people
in society who are just going to keep breaking us.
Hold on a second now. With the speed limits, the government doesn't want people to speed, so it's putting in more measures to stop people speeding. I think the government just doesn't give a damn about drug prevention at the moment. I think the loony left, the Labour Party and people before profit and the Social Democrats are leading the narrative here with their quote-unquote health-led way of dealing with it. You know, treat it as a health problem.
A health problem,
Pardon my language, it's not a health problem. It's a criminal problem. Because, you know, there's no legal way of getting cocaine in this country. There's no legal way of getting heroin in this country. It is a criminal problem. Now, not, you know, the users of that are breaking the law. Yes, some of them are victims. Some of them have addiction problems for various different reasons, and I do feel sorry for those people. But going back to, you know, the doctors, the nurses, the guards, the teachers, the judges, etc., etc., who are...
Like, by the way, that's a terrifying thought when you say it like that, and I listen back to you saying it rather than me saying it. It's a terrifying thought that you could be on an operating theatre on a Monday morning and the doctor was out the night before with his mates, the surgeon, and he was coked out of his head.
Not mentioning names, places or anything, but I know this is the case.
Mm. Or a train driver, bus driver.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I don't know. Do they do random drug testing? I know they do it for pilots.
The health service does not do compulsory random drug testing. I think the only arms of the state that do now are, as you said, the pilots, the defence forces and the guards, I think, do as well.
Yeah, there was one guy who was charged there only recently. It was a cargo plane in September going out of Dublin Airport.
And lost his flight licence because of it.
Yeah, and rightly so, by the way.
No doubt. But Niall, you know, unless the government turns around and starts, you know, you need someone in government who has the cojones to stand up and go, no, this is a criminal matter. This will be treated as such, and we will deal with the people who bring these in the harshest possible terms, and do what they're trying to do with speeding and you know, clamp down. But until they do that, it's a lost cause.
See, I hate the idea of, you know, when I raised my kids, it was a case of, you know, it was always, you know, drugs bad. Mm-hmm. And I even warned them against alcohol. And my son is 27 now, he still doesn't drink. So I even warned them against alcohol, you know, in excess it can cause huge social problems. And thankfully it seemed to work. But with this, if you turned around and legalized it, or I don't even like the word decriminalize, you're essentially legalizing it.
Yeah.
That's a fancy word to decriminalize.
It is. It sounds less.
The difference between the two is with legalizing or with decriminalizing, you can't sell it to somebody else, but legalizing you could technically, I suppose.
So Niall,
but the point I was making is you're now giving it a green light. You're giving it. Yeah. So kids are growing up going, well, the government, it's legal, so it couldn't be too bad. Just like alcohol.
Kids are already growing up that way. Not all kids, but there's a lot of kids who are growing up in this country and think, split's okay. Mm. A line of cocaine is okay. It's better than alcohol in some cases. You know,
it's cheaper, isn't it? I suppose they look at it that way.
There's an attitude that has seeped in that, you know, class A drugs, they're not cheap. I can partake in that at the weekend, or I can do that every once in a while.
Mm.
You know, the statistics there that were on the news, and I heard it earlier on today, is that a 450% increase in women who are seeking treatment for cocaine addiction.
Mm-hmm.
450%. That is absolutely how does a health-led approach fix that? You know, no one goes out to a person with cocaine and forces it up their nose. You know?
That's a kind of social thing, isn't it?
It is a choice that someone makes. Someone goes out with their friend. They make a choice to do this, to use it, to possibly fit in with a crowd. But they make that choice. They take on that responsibility.
Yeah, 40% of drug problems at the moment are cocaine use.
Yeah.
Stay there for a second. Angela, hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Angela, this idea of decriminalising, fancy word for legalising, you know, cocaine and class A drugs. I know Billy's anti-drug, but he's saying at this stage, but sure, we've lost the war, it's over. Might as well just give in.
You see, I can understand where he's coming from. I think we all can, because at this stage, it's only getting bigger. It's only getting more. Like, there's more people taking drugs across the country. It's not just in the big cities anymore. It's not just in the big towns. It's in the smaller towns, it's in the smaller villages. It's everywhere.
What's wrong with me that I don't, mind you, I'm not a big socializer. I don't really go out apart from when I'm working in a nightclub or something like that. I don't see it. You know what I mean? And the media is supposed to be rife with it. Rife.
I can tell you now, if you rang me and said, can you get me cocaine? I could go, yeah, give me a few minutes there.
A few minutes.
All you have to do is go up on Snapchat, go up on this, go up on that, go up on fake profiles on Facebook. I'll tell you now, right?
How can it be that easy? How do the guards not know what you know?
Right. Okay. Of course they do. Of course they know, right?
Well, then why have to do something
I'll
about
give
it?
You an example.
If you can go on Facebook and Johnny the dealer will come to your house and drop off a bag or whatever it is, how come the guards can't set him up and do exactly the same thing?
Because, Niall, a lot of these guys are using kids that live with the buddies.
Oh, yeah. You're not getting them. And the thing is, right, what you'll get is you'll get a picture, right, of a guy selling a necklace. Okay, so he'll say, necklace, €80, right? But you know that you're not paying €80 for that necklace.
How do you know that, Bo? How do you know that? Is that like a code? Is necklace code for cocaine?
Yeah, it's all different things. Or you could get a guy who would put up a picture of a necklace and a little bag of coke next to it going, necklace, €80. Like, it's crazy.
I'll tell you what, Niall.
Absolutely crazy.
I'm naive. Yeah, sorry, Billy. What are you trying to say?
Do you have a computer in front of you there?
I do.
Just open up a search window and put in Farmer Cocaine Ireland. And the first article that you're going to see is the Irish Farmers Journal. I was taking cocaine on the farm just to stay awake. And that is something that is...
I see it. Yeah, I see it here now, yeah.
Yeah, and it's
yeah, the problem of alcohol in Northern Ireland has often reared its head over the years, but the number of farmers presenting at rehab clinics for drug treatment over the last 10 years has been on the rise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do you know what I would do? And I know there's going to be people out there listening to me going, Angela, shut up. I would actually, if I had the money, I would actually set up a company now, bring it up to the government and go, right, pay me. You pay me, I'll pay people to go and do random drug testing everywhere. I'm talking about the guards. I'm talking about the hospitals. I'm talking about...
There'd be a lot of people in trouble, let me tell you.
There would be a lot of people in trouble.
Start in Leinster House, Angela.
By the way, and that horrifies me as well. I mean, we were talking about the surgeon earlier on. There are people in Leinster House who are making decisions that affect all of our lives. Now, we've seen the carry-on of them about 7 years ago when they brought in the Pregnancy Act. Remember that Savita Hahn and Padover? And we saw the carry-on of them at 1 o'clock in the morning sitting on each other's knees and all sorts of carry-on because they were pissed in the bar and the doll, right?
Their faces, Niall.
But they're making decisions, life-changing decisions for people.
Hmm. You know, and
okay, but so Angela, where do you sit with...
Where do I sit?
Legally, where do you sit? Just give in, like...
I wouldn't like to see it totally legalised. I wouldn't. But... kind of, if you go along the street, right, and you find someone that has a little bag of cocaine, I don't see the point
Why?
In hauling them in through court.
Why? Because if they weren't buying the bag, the dealer wouldn't have it.
Let me finish.
Okay.
Right? And you get confident and it's like, okay, there's your warning. We catch you again, you're being hauled in.
Actually, you'll never remember.
And then you're caught again. Yeah,
that'll never happen. You'll never remember.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
There's only two ways of doing this. You either decriminalise it or you take a tough stance on it. So the guy with the bag of coke gets arrested and thrown in the cell.
If that's the choice I would have, haul them all in.
We can't take a tough stance in Ireland on anything. We're incapable. You'll have the Irish Council for Civil Liberties coming in and telling you how hard a life someone who's using cocaine has had. And chances are most of them are going to be middle-class users. And I think it was Alan Kelly who came out last year and said that it was being used in Leinster House and that it's a middle-class problem. And it's middle-class, as we're saying, that cocaine is okay.
Mm.
So it's a middle-class problem. But
we saw that with Jerry Ryan, for God's sake, and many others, Katie French.
But Niall, as I have told you, right, my ex-boyfriend, because I want to say ex-boyfriend now in case anyone thinks...
Don't accuse your ex-boyfriend of anything on the air, will you?
Okay. Let's say hypothetically.
No, yeah, you've already mentioned it, so let's leave that story just behind you for the moment.
Just on the Jerry Ryan, Katie French thing, high-profile people in Ireland... It is known died from cocaine consumption. And what happened about it? Absolutely nothing.
But there was no condemnation. The one person who did condemn it and said that he had already warned, and he did, by the way, while he was working on it, he was Gareth O'Callaghan. And there was a piece in the paper that Gareth you know, gave an interview, and he said, I'd already mentioned this, but nobody would listen to me in RTE.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the RTE kind of condemned Gareth for that. I remember the time that, you know, Gareth was very disliked by members of RTE, because I remember chatting to Gareth about it one day. And, like, he had warned that this was a huge problem in RTE, and he had warned in relation to Gerry Ryan. You know, and what, while I remember Gerry Ryan, you know, I was thinking in my head, the day that Katie French died, Gerry Ryan was on his way into RTE to work, probably snorting off the top of the steering wheel at the car as he was on his way in, to go on the air and give out about cocaine use.
Mm-hmm.
The hypocrisy of it. Meanwhile,
utter hypocrisy. And they have the nerve. They have the nerve to preach to us about how we should live our lives and tell us what we should.
And you know what the thing about a nihilist?
And by the way, I can assure you, by the way, I don't use cocaine, or I don't use any drugs, actually. Actually, the only drugs I'm using at the moment is Diphene.
That, you know probably why?
Yeah.
It's because whoever Gareth complained to was probably sitting next to Gerry doing it.
Possibly, yeah. Possibly at the time, I don't know.
You know, like, it's crazy. Now, come here, saying all that, I loved Gerry, I loved listening to him, I loved all of that. But it's disappointing. It is very disappointing.
Okay, well, stay there for a second. Let me go to Alan as well. Alan. Okay.
Hey, Niall.
How you doing, Alan?
No worries.
Decriminalising Class A drugs. Now, I know it mentions on my screen that you're all for decriminalising weed, and that's a whole other debate. I wouldn't be completely far away from you on that, probably. I don't know. I'm personally against drugs anyway. But look, we could talk about that again. You know, it's not as harmful, clearly, as the likes of cocaine or, you know, amphetamines or, you know, or heroin or any of those, or ecstasy.
Well, Niall, I come from a family of 13, and I've lost 6 members of my family, including grandchildren, from drugs.
Wow. Sorry to hear that.
And I lost 3 brothers, I lost 2 nieces and a nephew. And it never ends. The war on drugs has utterly failed. It's a delusion that we can stop people taking drugs, and punishing them for taking drugs has been the biggest failure of all. The war on drugs across the world has failed. It's only failed many famous presidents and people in the World Bank and all who said that this war on drugs has completely and utterly failed. It's never really succeeded in doing anything other than making life harder for drug users, which I'm not on drugs. I was never a drug taker. I never drank either. But I know that the war on drugs has failed. It's so failed, it's not even at the starting point of failure. It's at the last end of failure. And what we need is a common sense approach to what is drugs, what's causing people to want to get out ahead every Friday or Saturday night in the pub or at home even. Why are we still obsessed that one drug like heroin is bad and Valium that a chemist gives you is good because it's done by a prescription?
Well, I suppose the reason is you'd like to think that the GP that recommended it or prescribed it took a good judgment call and believed that it would be of some level of benefit to you.
The statistics have shown, there was a documentary there only a while back on RTE, for the major abuse of pharmaceutical drugs, which is even more pervasive.
Absolutely. I'm not going to disagree with you, Alan. By the way, you know more about it than I do. Can you clarify for me, because I'm a bit thick when it comes to drugs. Benzodiazepine or fiend. Is that Valium? Is that the same thing?
The word benzo comes from an umbrella of tablets. I was never on Valium. My wife was, Niall.
Okay.
My wife was on Valium for 50 years and she abused them shockingly. And the doctor took her off them without any...
But isn't there a limit to how many the doctor's allowed to give you per month and all this kind of thing?
No, Niall, the gas thing is, right? My wife was prescribed Valium at the age of 12.
What?
Yeah, she had chronic anxiety as a child. She used to have fits and seizures. And they brought her into Brendan's. Remember the old Brendan's?
That's right, yeah.
She was put in there at 15 and she was given loads of Valium to bring down her anxiety. And when she got out of hospital, she wrote a book in the 80s, Niall. It's a famous book called Lisa, The Story of an Irish Drug Addict. And she wrote how she went to about 20 different doctors to get prescriptions for Valium. Now, that was in the old days.
Yeah, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't be able to do that. You'd be looking to find a doctor to take you on these days, but go on. Yeah.
But now, Niall, what we have here now, you're asking the question, should we decriminalise Class A drugs? And the only answer, that common sense approach, is who is it affecting? How do we stop the waste of taxpayers' money when guards are going around picking up random people for carrying a bit of cocaine or heroin?
But they're not really.
No, I'm not saying they are in every sense. But there is a certain percentage of people going to prison for having, say, 100 quid worth of cocaine on their body.
Sorry, Billy disagrees. Billy, what are you saying there to Alan?
I was going to say, Alan asked, who does it affect? It affects society, Alan. It's a society.
Right, but what you're not forgetting, what you seem to forget, Billy, whether it's criminalised or decriminalised, it'll always be there. What we need
I understand that.
Yeah,
Alan,
well, you come from a moral. You've never been on drugs, have you?
No, I haven't, Alan.
Let's just be civilized here, Jude. Sorry, Alan, I'm not giving out to you. I'm just saying.
I'm not trying to give out or pontificate to you at all. What I am saying, though, is that.
Well, I've never been on drugs.
Sorry, Alan, can I finish?
Class A drug use
is a societal harm. It causes damage to the fabric of society.
Well, the highest Class A drug dangerous in Ireland is alcohol. Alcohol is a very pervasive drug.
And I'm not going to suggest it's not, Alan, but the genie's out of the bottle there. It's already legalized.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we're not going to go back on that. Now, Alan, let's just stick to what we're talking about. And sorry, let's just Billy finish the point that he was making, if you could. Go ahead.
Alan, the figure that was given out today, that there's been a 450% increase in women going to recovery for cocaine use, just goes to show how pervasive and damaging it is to society. I'm not saying that alcohol hasn't been damaging to society either. However, I do know people who can have a social drink. I don't know people who can have a social line of cocaine. I don't think there is someone.
Billy, what I notice in my area I live in is drugs are everywhere. It's like, and the guards can't arrest everyone and put them in prison for taking drugs. It just wouldn't work. Where the criminal courts of justice are overstretched with the effects of alcohol, the effects of drugs, the effects of cocaine. And they can't shut the bottle down, because when you said there, Niall, that the genie's out of the bottle about alcohol, well, the genie's out of the bottle about cocaine and heroin and all the other drugs. When you decriminalise them or criminalise them, it's irrelevant.
What I meant when I said the genie's out of the bottle, it's alcohol is already legal. You're not going to make it illegal. But, Alan, we have two choices in society. Unfortunately, Billy is probably right.
Well, we don't have two choices.
Well, we do. No, we have two choices. We legalise or decriminalise. And the second choice is we get tough.
Well, no, Niall. The word tough, right?
But tough means that the guards don't walk down the boardwalk in Dublin and completely ignore the fact that people are strung out of their heads.
Yeah, but Niall, what you seem to forget is that the toughness on drugs has failed. In the early days, my brothers, who are all dead now, God rest them, they got involved in heroin in the Larry Dunn era, when Larry Dunn came into Dolphin's Barn, and they started taking heroin after they started taking hash, and they took heroin, and it totally opened up a Pandora's box of madness. The AIDS epidemic and the addiction that came out of all of them areas was nothing they could do. It was too late. Once the effects of addiction are settled in a person, no amount of threats or intimidation by the guards or threats of prison will stop it from going away.
But is it not a good idea that you're starting off by saying something is illegal and something has consequences? And just what I said about me telling my kids drugs are bad, brainwashing that into them constantly all the time. Not like alcohol, where we say alcohol is bad until you're 18. Alcohol is bad until you're 18.
I'll give you an example, Niall. I'll give you an example of some of the more peculiar issues of this.
Very quickly, if you can, because Morris is waiting there to speak, and I know Angela wants to say something.
Go on to Morris and come back to me, Niall.
Oh, okay, all right. Morris, hi, how are you?
Good evening, Niall. How are you doing, all right?
Good. Morris.
Hey, Morris.
Okay, Morris, in relation to Class A drugs, is it time to decriminalise?
Well, you know, you tried a bit of cannabis in your day. I did. You know, you try it once. But thank God we never went on to anything harder. I think anybody that's out there having a joint and it's not causing...
That's fine. I'm not talking about cannabis. That's a separate debate, really. It's low-level stuff.
Yeah. Anything over that, you're in trouble. Anything over that, I'll accept that in society. I won't accept anything else. I just watched a woman on the news there this evening. She's 11 years recovered from cocaine. A woman, a married woman with children. She lost everything. And she done a mini marathon there. It was on the news. It just caught me attention.
Yeah.
And any drugs like that that destroy families, anybody that's peddling them or dealing with them or is caught with them, you know, depending on the amounts, custodial sentence, if not community service. But I think, you know, if you take away the harshness of you're going to fucking jail if I catch you with anything, you know, you'll free up the prisons. Because, I mean, say, if you can have people that are using drugs for medicinal purposes that are not going out robbing, breaking into houses, are mugging people to get the money for the drugs. You know, they're social drug users, depending on what it is. But anything over cannabis, as far as I'm concerned, you're a Class A drug dealer or a user, and you'll pay the consequences.
So you should go to jail.
See, Niall.
Not so much jail, Niall. I'd put you into community service.
Yeah, unless you had a large amount, you know, enough to supply, yeah.
And yeah, exactly. If you're peddling in debt, you'll pay the price. Simple as.
Well, see, that's what I said. I turned around and I said, you can't lock up everybody who has a bit of cocaine for personal use. You can't.
Well, then you're going to let them. Well, most 99% of people taking cocaine have it for personal use. There's only the 1% or 2% that need to be the dealers.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what Morris is saying.
So, in other words, well, then you're saying to me, then just let them away with it as long as it's for personal use.
Niall.
Yeah, Alan.
See, the whole concept of punishment and law and order and what we do about crime, we need to get our heads away from the puritanical people who are out there who've never been on... Like, I would call you and I say, I've never been on drugs, or I've never taken cocaine, or I'm only thinking of pull a hash every year, probably, and not time. I wouldn't be an issue with drugs. The Puritan out there wants punishment for crimes of every type. When there's crimes against the person, against our own individual body, that they're taking certain drugs to enjoy for the night or to escape from their addiction.
But you're wrong, Alan. So when people are taking drugs, particularly cocaine and heroin, it's not just a crime against their own person. You know, some of them have families, they have kids, they have jobs. So they start to lose their jobs. They steal from their families to get money.
You quote, Niall, you made a statement there about Jerry Ryan, right?
Yeah.
And we remember the very... My wife loved Jerry Ryan. She used to listen to him every day. But we can't get away from the undiluted hypocrisy of sitting in a station and he's ridiculing users of drugs. He made a many statement on his radio about the dangers of coke and all these different types of attitudes he had. And then he goes off and we then realise that he had a major chronic addiction as other people
talking,
in all.
He was talking down from a middle class pedestal and bemoaning people of a lower socioeconomic.
Yeah. So what I would say, let's finish.
Okay.
What I would say is, Niall, we need to look at this moment in Ireland tonight. There's nearly 100,000 people or more taking coke in different parts of Ireland, all around
That's
Ireland.
That's a shocking statistic, by the way, but go on, yeah.
Yeah, that is just a fact. These are from the reports done by Gardaí when the arrest over the years would have arrested across the country. But Niall, I knew a friend of mine, and he got a heroin bulb. Now the actual the actual drug that is made from heroin, the poppy.
Mm.
And he went into a little forest near where he lived and he grew it in the garden and no one was around. And he used to take a blade and cut the bulb and out came pure heroin. And he would not need to go to drug dealers anymore. He just took it out for himself every week or every second day. That is the problem with addiction. You look at areas of avoidance of the law and you'll take it. It's like, imagine tomorrow, Niall, they made a law, they criminalised smoking. They got rid of smoking out of the shops and you couldn't smoke.
Now, people start growing their own tobacco leaves. I know what you mean.
Yeah. Everything, we would go around ourselves and we would find a way of breaking the law. Because
addiction. Okay, well, hang on just a second. I'll just give somebody else a chance. Morris, Billy was saying there a few minutes ago, although Billy would be very anti-drugs, he was saying, what's the point in continuing what we're doing? Because we've lost the war. We might as well just decriminalise it at this stage. It's already done. Well, the damage is done.
Yeah, and I'm going to say the levels that it's at now, like you said, there's it's easier to get drugs in every small town in Ireland.
I can't believe you. Angela was telling me that, yeah.
And that's hard to believe, but that'll tell you the network that they have. But like when you talk about prison sentence and people with drugs and everything else, like you know yourself, just one example, there was an ex-Garda commissioner caught with £700,000 worth of cannabis in his possession. He was holding for the drug gang. But there's the corruption. It's gone right to the bleeding top. And that man is in jail, but he's hanging on to his pension. And who's paying his pension? Us.
Mm.
If you fucking do a crime like that and you're caught with that amount of drugs, you should lose everything. And pay severely because you're peddling debt. I don't care what level it was. If you have £700,000 worth of drugs in your possession, you're a fucking drug dealer, a drug mill, and you're dregs on society, and you're living off the sorrow and the suffering of working class people and middle class people and upper class people. Do you know what I mean? So there's nothing that's not touched in this country. You're talking about the lowest guy on the ladder, right up to the top. And what were you told growing up as a child, like everybody else on this program that's contributing?
Mm.
You can trust the police, you can trust the priest, and you can trust the doctor.
But there is this kind of denial. Like when Katie French died, sadly, of cocaine, you know, the overuse of cocaine that time. You know, it was all over the papers. It was everywhere. This lovely young model, gorgeous looking girl, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But when John Arantala or Ballyfermot dies, nobody gives a shit.
He's just another low-life scumbag.
Oh, taking drugs. That's what I'm saying. There's a different, and I don't know, Angela, if that's just me or not, there's a different attitude towards people, you know, middle to upper class who take cocaine than there is to people in Ballyfermot, Ballymun, Finglas, whatever working class area taking heroin. There's a different attitude.
Yeah,
it's like when you talk about it being upper class and that, what's the word they use? I'm going to have to go blank.
Give me a clue. Go on.
Oh, to know that they're working drug addicts. Functioning, yeah. Whereas if it's your man on the dole down the road dealing a bit of coke, he's a junkie.
Hmm.
You know, there is that stigma attached to both. You know, if you're on heroin, you're a junkie. If you're on coke, you're a drug addict.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand this?
I'd be willing to make a bet that the guards know every mid and high level drug dealer in this country tonight. I'd be willing to
make
a bet. Do. And why are they still there?
The reason they're still there is because you're high level. Do you know what? The perfect scenario for this is, right, and bear with me, you have two television programs. You have Love, Hate, and you have Kin.
Oh, there's a new Love, Hate coming, isn't there? Part two is on the way.
Oh, Jesus, don't listen to him. Don't worry. He's full of shit.
You know, it is. No, I've heard that genuinely. They are going to stay. I know they haven't started yet, I believe, but they are making a part two.
Hmm? It's your man, is it Patrick Ward? John Moore, whatever his name is, he came out and said there's another one coming, but what he's talking about is he's in a new program.
No, I heard it from somebody else, not just from him. I've heard it from other people too within
Netflix have said they don't have anything, and RTE said they've never heard.
Okay, so the point you were going to make about Love, Hate, and Kin, actually, I enjoyed Kin, I thought it was really good. Well made.
Yeah, King was brilliant and Love Hate was brilliant. But there's a massive difference between the two of them because Kin were the top of the top. They were the ones with the millions. They were the ones who were living in the big, huge houses with, do you know what I mean? Big, huge aquariums with everything. They're the ones who don't go near us. Love Hate were the ones who go near us. Love Hate were your drug dealers. So they know every guy out there. They know the big guys who are dealing in all these drugs, but they can't catch them because they don't put their hands on them. That's what it is. They don't go near it. They have their chief. They have their...
And the money, and the money is being laundered, and we've mentioned this on the air on numerous occasions, all over the country when we see an abundance of phone shops opening.
Unnecessary
phone shops and vape shops.
Chinese shops that don't sell food, any Chinese. There's hairdressers. There's everything. Everything is being used for it, like, you know? And that is your perfect...
Well, but what I can't understand, Billy, just before we go to the break, Angela's saying all this. I know all this. You know this, the phone shop carry on and all that kind of, right? This, like, on an old rural Ireland, you've got a small little main street with hardly any traffic on it, and there's like 20 phone shops, right? Or barbers is another one they use in England as well. Where are all these barbers coming from, right? We all know this. So why aren't the guards raiding these places regularly? Is it just me, or I can't answer
that question. I'd love to know. Is it a case that they fear they lack evidence? Is it a case that, you know, it'll go up in front of a court and the judge, of which we could name a couple, will hear the sob story and throw the case out? You know, as it seems to happen.
But if we're to get serious on the war, as you said, on drugs, they're the things we should be doing.
But Niall, I just to make a general comment, I don't think this country is capable of being serious about anything. You know, we're not serious when it comes to crime and justice. We're not serious when it comes to health. We're not serious when it comes to education. We're not serious when it comes to defence. We can't build roads. We can't build trains. We seem to be absolutely inept when it comes to actually doing anything. But we're more than happy to stand on a soapbox and virtue signal about how great we are to the rest of the world.
Did I hear today, by the way, that the metro is starting in 2027?
But Niall, the first reference of a metro in Dublin was in 1970.
Yeah, I know.
1973, 50 years ago, and not one track has been laid.
Yep.
How many reports have been made? How many routes?
How many applications for planning? Because in a house that I used to live in, outside the door, they were on the main road in front of me. They were going to build, that's where the metro was going to go. So they had put planning out and people could go down to the local office and object to it or whatever. But that was like 15 years ago.
But just on a side note, did you see there was an article from your old friend Eamon Ryan in the Irish Times last week complaining about the lack of progress on the Greenway between, I think it was Dalkey and somewhere else in Dublin last week, and he'd been Minister for Transport for 5 bloody years.
Yeah.
He's complaining that nothing was done about it.
Yeah,
you were in the office, Eamon, you could have done it.
Yeah, it was your job. That was your job. Or were you asleep at the time?
Probably.
Joe, hi, how are you?
Hi, not too bad, Niall. Good evening. Yeah, it's a miserable night here in Cork. It's lashing.
I know. It's not too good here either, let me tell you.
No. It's a long weekend coming as well, so I suppose...
Oh, I forgot about that. I forgot it's a bank holiday weekend. We're off on Monday. Yay! Sorry. So anyway, Joe, getting back to drugs... We've two choices. There's only two choices in this question. We get tough and we put people in jail for possession of drugs, which we're not really doing at the moment, or we take a health-based approach and decriminalise them and just let them away with it. So what do we do?
Well, I'll tell you, we should have been getting tough on open drug dealing long term ago. If we went after the major kingpins that were destroying this country.
Oh, they did. They did. They did go after them, Joe, but these guys are cleverer than the Garda Síochána.
Oh, so I know they are. I know they are. But to see, they kind of left them slip off the net as well. Because to see, the problem is we had a lot of individuals, kind of godfathers over the years, going back from the 60s right up to the present day, who are running the drug empires on the streets of Dublin and Cork and Limerick and all over. You know.
Mm-hmm.
This thing about this so-called government health approach, well, I wouldn't agree. I wouldn't agree with that because you know and I know now that that's not going to work because anything that the government will do anyway, they'll make a total balls of it. and you might as well forget about puberty blockers before people because I wouldn't trust them to run a bat. You know what I mean? They're
puberty blockers before people.
Yeah, but that's their new name now, Niall. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right, okay.
No, no, it's look, I've listened to what everyone is saying tonight, and I do agree that the war on drugs is never going to be sorted. It's never going to end unless somebody really does something.
But if you, yeah, you know? I suppose, taking a more to what Billy says, if you look at countries where they have literally a death sentence for drug dealing and drug importation, people still do it.
We should just still do it, yeah, because you see, it's an open market, like, and
yeah, there's massive money in it. It's huge risk with massive money.
I can tell you a story here. Here in Cork, every day of the week, especially now with the long weekend coming up, there'll be a lot of places around the city, there'll be snorting cocaine, left, right and centre. In fact, I was told by a friend of mine who rings in your show on a regular basis there, you know, Big John is his name. You might have been talking to him a couple of times. He actually was passing a pub in the centre of town.
Yeah, don't mention the name of the pub, shall you?
Oh, I'm not going to mention the name. No. He was passing an establishment at 7 o'clock one evening. On a Saturday evening, and he saw this young one. I think the girl was only about 22, 23, and she was snorting cocaine out of her keyring. Would you ever believe that? Like,
oh no, I would believe it. Yeah,
you know why that happens?
Yeah,
you know why they do that?
Yeah,
because going back years ago, what they started doing was putting Vaseline.
When I was working in Tamango, we used to use WD-40. So we used to spray WD-40 on the tops of the cisterns.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the tops of the cisterns. So now they do it off of coins or keys.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
You know?
No, you know what? I was working one night in Tamango, about 13 years ago. And I seen one of my kids' school teachers come in with her two friends. She was quite young. She's only in her 26, 27. My kids were much younger at the time. They were only in their 10, 11, 12, whatever it was. And I seen her walking in. And she walked past the DJ box, which was behind me. She walked past me to go into the jacks. And she came out and she came over to me to say hello. And the powder was all over her nose. I could see it actually on her nose and her mates as well.
Jeez.
And I'm looking at her. I was disgusted because I said, she's teaching my kids tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
This is the problem.
Sorry, go ahead, Angela.
Here we go, Niall. That is a good topic, because I heard that on, I think I read it in the newspaper, somebody was saying it, or somebody was talking about it, asking, would you report the teacher?
No, I didn't. Maybe I'm wrong. Was I wrong, Billy, not to report it? I was disgusted.
Jesus, Niall, even if you had reported it, Niall, would it have done anything? Probably not.
That's a good topic for you now, some nice.
But it just seems wrong, doesn't it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, as I said, I know a doctor who did.
Yeah, I know. I know it's all walks of life. I know.
You know, and it's a case of, well, you know, you could report them, but number one, they can't drug test the teacher. They can't drug test the doctor. What's the point in reporting them? It's your word against theirs.
They technically can.
Yeah, but if it's put into their contract, they can, can't they?
Yeah.
So in other words, any new teachers coming in, if it's put into their contract, I don't know whether they can change an existing contract.
See, that's why I'm saying, that's why I set up that company, that I do the random drug test.
Wouldn't you love to just maybe ask, maybe I should publicly just ask all politicians listening, or all politicians, will you all do a random drug test? The ones who say no are probably the ones that are guilty.
I guarantee you, half of them wouldn't agree to it if you put that challenge up, and if you put it up onto something like change.org and got 100,000 or 200,000 signatures, I'd say there'd be a good 50% that would refuse to do it.
Well, the only reason you'd refuse is if you were taking drugs.
My civil right is against it. No, it's not. You've nothing to hide. Go and do it. I've always said that. I've got everything. You've nothing to hide. Go and do it.
Oh, well, stay there, Joe, Billy and Angela. Let me go to David. David, hi. How are you?
Niall, hi. Very good to talk to you again. Very interesting. Yeah, the way to bring it, the government has to mandate drug testing in work.
Mm.
Anybody with a contract of employment, they should be in a position or condition where they can do their job without influence by drugs.
Yeah, but you don't have to accept a new contract in work. So it would only, I don't think you could...
It's nothing to denote. The law changes the work of... Under the law, we have to comply with certain things in workers' compensation.
Under employment law, yeah.
Under employment law, yeah. So as an employee, I have to turn up to work in a fit condition to work. So I can't be drunk.
But yes, yeah, Billy is saying there, you know, the, what you call it, the human rights organisations would go berserk.
Council for Civil Liberties.
That's the one, the Council for Civil Liberties. They were useless during COVID.
That's where the legislation has to attack.
I don't know why they pay
under
them,
that employment law, that should include all drugs.
Hmm. Yeah, now, I mean, if you were turning up for work drunk, being drunk is more visible than being drugged. Now, if you were turning up for work drunk, you'd soon be chucked out.
Well, you spotted your daughter's teacher quite happily with the powder all around her nose. What I would actually say is that I believe we have a moral responsibility as individuals. We would. I hope we would shun buying trainers made in slave factories. Now, where these drugs are produced, the locals in Mexico or wherever, or southern America, South America, the areas where the drug lords run their plantations, the villagers are kept in poverty. And the people who want a quick off-their-heads experience on a Saturday night need to realize what they're imposing upon the indigenous people of Venezuela or Colombia or wherever else.
But you know what the thing with that is? They don't care, because they will go out and buy Gucci bags and buy Nike and buy, where everyone always says that, you know, it's child labour that are making all of these things. So,
Well, okay, just very quickly, I've only got a minute. Sorry, Angela, for cutting across you.
Yeah,
David, I've only got literally a minute and a half. So tell me, David, should we decriminalise Class A drugs? Because as Billy says, no, the war is lost.
No, lock the people up and start hanging them.
Oh, well, that's a bit much, isn't it?
Summary executions, nothing like it.
Yeah, you good old execution. Yeah. Well, thankfully, David, that has been removed from our constitution a long time ago. So we don't hang people anymore. That's gone. I think it's gone in Britain as well. Yeah, so be realistic, David. Be realistic. So what you're saying to me is, if people are caught in possession of Class A drugs, they should be put in jail. Is that what you're saying?
But I think not only should they be put in jail, they should lose substantial assets. But quite clearly, they're not responsible enough to have a social policy where they care about what they're doing to the people who have to grow these things.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.